This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Most people would agree the city of Cincinnati has a first-rate park system. But a charter amendment appearing on the November 3rd ballot as Issue 22 that would place a permanent one-mill tax in the city charter for park improvements has generated a lot of disagreement among residents and organizations. Joining us to discuss the Cincinnati Parks levy, Manley & Burke attorney Tim Burke, who supports the levy. He's also chairman of the Hamilton County Democratic Party and Hamilton County Board of Elections. Attorney and partner with Omer & Byrne, Donald Mooney Jr., who along with Tim Mara organized Save Our Parks, an anti-levy effort, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Don, Tim, and Howard, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Tim, what exactly is this? It's a permanent 1% increase, but what are some of the other details on this issue?
Well, we have a great park system. You've already said that. But the fact of the matter is it's an aging park system. Most of the buildings are 70-plus years old in our older parks. Now, Smale and Washington Park have just seen a total rebirth, and Smale's virtually brand new, but many of our other parks need an awful lot of work. There is no devoted revenue stream for the parks, and in fact, in the last 15 years, what revenue is available to our park board provided by the citizens of Cincinnati through City Council has gone down year after year. What this levy would do is provide a consistent stream of revenue, allow for the catch-up on $50 million worth of deferred maintenance, and allow for some exciting new features in our parks, and a trail system that would connect 35 or more of our communities through several new bike trails.
Mm-hmm. So how much money would the levy generate?
The levy, I believe, would generate about $5 million a year.
Okay.
And it would require City Council to commit at least $2.3 million a year.
It would require City Council to maintain the current level of expenditure that they are providing to the park board, and you're right.
Which is
about $2.3 million a year.
About $5 million a year, you're saying, is how much it would generate.
That's right. That would be additional revenue so that council couldn't decrease what they're already doing.
You'd always be assured of that amount.
Correct.
Well, what about in terms of what this would cost for a property owner?
It's about $35 per $100,000 of a home.
Mm-hmm. So, Don, why is your organization against this? What are the problems you see with this?
You know, I'm one of those types of folks that could be fairly accused of never seeing a tax he didn't like. But there was something about this, when you look at the details, that is quite frankly unnerving. And what's unusual about it, from the point of view of our city charter, is that it gives the mayor of Cincinnati extraordinary powers to decide how this money will be spent. And as the mayor rolled out this proposal, he listed about $80 million in projects, some of which are parks, some of which are not. A lot of new bells and whistles that were associated with another $1.4 million in maintenance costs for these new projects. So the question is, we love our parks. We agree more work needs to be done in terms of maintaining what we have. But this money, apparently they're anticipating borrowing about $80 million and paying off that debt over about 30 years with the revenue from this thing, this tax amendment, doesn't do anything, in our view, to really address the problems we have. It seems to some of us, and whether you call us skeptics or cynics is arguable, that it is more of an opportunity for the mayor to spend a lot of money in the run-up to his next election and to tax us to facilitate that campaign.
Don keeps making this about John Cranley and the mayor and argues that the mayor's going to have all the control. First of all, the charter of the city of Cincinnati makes it very clear. There's absolutely no dispute, nor can there be any dispute over this, that to the extent that there will be bonds required, and there will be bonds required. Under Article 8, Section 8 of the City Charter, no board or department of the city shall borrow money or issue bonds unless Such action is approved by ordinance of the council, which shall have full discretion to approve or disapprove.
So and you're saying that's not just a ministerial function.
It's absolutely, you saw council. Me reading from the charter.
Yes.
They have full discretion as to whether or not to approve or disapprove the bonds. And Don wants to make fun of the mayor for coming forward and saying these are a specific set of projects that we want to do.
Are the specific projects actually written into the issue itself? Would it say
not in the issue itself,
okay.
No. But I can tell you where you will find virtually all of them. And that's in the 2007 Centennial Master Plan, adopted by the Park Board. And frankly, it wasn't only adopted by the Park Board. It was adopted by Cincinnati City Council. And before that, it was adopted by the Planning Commission of the City of Cincinnati, which Mr. Mooney served on at that time. The problem with that master plan is it didn't provide any funding for the projects and programs that they wanted to initiate. This levy does that. And we're going to take a plan that everybody thought was a great plan, and we're going to make it a reality.
How were those projects picked, Tim?
There were a whole slew of different people who served on the Centennial Master Plan, which, by the way, was reaffirmed in Plan Cincinnati, just adopted in 2012. And there were literally hundreds of citizens of Cincinnati, as well as the Planning Commission and City Council, that went through all of these things. And in the case of the Park Board, they are enumerated in the Centennial Master Plan for Cincinnati Park.
So, Don, you had a piece of putting this together then.
Well, I sure don't remember, as an example, approving a marina for downtown Cincinnati, presumably so people could arrive in their yachts and go to their club seats at the Bengals Stadium.
We have been talking about a marina on the riverfront approved in various city plans for decades.
You were
a part of those on the Planning Commission.
I did not participate in a plan that said anything about a King Records Museum costing a couple of million dollars. The bottom line is that plan is about 8 years old. And quite frankly, I think a lot of us would trust the Park Board as an independent entity, that's what our charter says, to make decisions about how we spend our park money. I think what's unusual about this charter amendment is that it provides that the mayor annually shall submit a proposed capital levy program to the Park Board. The Park Board does get to approve it, but if they make any changes, he essentially has a right to veto it. And I can't find any other similar provision in our city charter that gives such extraordinary powers to the mayor. And quite frankly, what we're concerned about is the politicization of our park system when one elected official gets to decide that. And let me, I love Tim. We've been friends for many years.
And hopefully we'll still be after this.
He's a great party boss. But the fact that instead of having someone from the park board to talk about why this is good for parks, we have the Democratic Party chairman suggest to me that this is a politicization of our parks.
Tim, go ahead. You've been dying to say something. Yeah, go ahead.
For lots of different reasons, but let me be clear. I served on the Cincinnati Park Board for over 4 years. I served on the Zoo Board for a dozen years. The zoo was at that time another Cincinnati park. So, yes, I happen to be a chair of the local Democratic Party, and our Cincinnati Democratic Committee just last week endorsed this levy. So politically, yeah, I support this. It's not because I'm chair of the Democratic Party. I also played a major role in the development of the Little Miami Bike Trail when I was the executive director and then remained as counsel to Little Miami Incorporated, which I still am now for over 30 years. I see what bike trails can do. I also know how tough it is to get them funded and done when the opportunity is there. We have the opportunity to do that now. I know the kind of impact bike trails can have for families, for neighborhoods. I've seen what they've done for Loveland. I've seen what they've done for Morrow. They can do the same thing in our neighborhoods when we connect 35 of them with four new trails in the city of Cincinnati.
You've got all these projects, Tim. What do you say to somebody who says, well, my neighborhood park isn't one of those projects?
Well, almost all neighborhoods are going to be positively impacted. These bike trails that I've just talked about will connect more than 35 neighborhoods. So we're going a long way in that direction. And as a number of people have pointed out, because this is, in fact, a permanent levy, like the park levies are in Anderson and Delhi and Sims Township, what we do now is just the beginning of what we will be able to do for our parks in the future.
I think the point Tim makes about a permanent levy is worth reminding. Most of us think about levies as something that comes up, and then 5 or 6 years later, the voters get to decide whether the school board or the zoo or the museum center, as an example, have done a good job with their money, and they get to decide whether or not to renew that amount. This is something that's set in stone in our charter, and it's going to be very hard if the public isn't happy with how the money is spent, these projects that the mayor has already announced, how the money is spent, whether or not he actually delivers on those promises. That's the another concern we have, the permanence of this.
Well, if you look at our charter, you'll find that many of our taxes are in fact permanent. The earnings tax is permanent. The tax that's specified in the charter for SORTA and our bus system is permanent. It's not unusual to see provisions for permanent taxes in the Cincinnati charter.
Well, there, if you talk about SORTA and some of these other taxes, there are sunset provisions for those.
There's no sunset provision for our general earnings tax,
which is specified
in the city charter.
That's right, yeah. But I mean, for SORTA, if they went to a sales tax.
Ironically, Howard, there's a provision in the city charter already. It's a small tax, but there's a permanent provision in there for the Recreation Commission.
Yeah.
There is nothing in there right now for parks.
Address this idea of the mayor being able to veto the will of the park board.
Well, look, and Don suggested, this is so unique. Well, no, it's not. The mayor comes forward with a budget every year. He initiates that. He also has the ability to veto things that might be put in that budget by the council of the city of Cincinnati.
But council
can override
the veto.
Hang on just a minute. Council can override the veto. The park board can also. Do you think John Cranley is going to run over Otto Budig on the park board or Mrs. Castellini? It's not going to happen.
Don, go ahead.
Somehow the park board got persuaded to write a check for $200,000. From park board funds to support this levy. Now, I don't know whether or not that's legal. That's what the courts and the auditor and the attorney general
decide. I thought they had said it was legal.
Well, I don't think certainly the courts haven't decided. I think there's an argument to be made. But
an argument to be made that it's illegal, and Otto Budig just made that argument today.
It's hard for me to believe that our park board would spend $200,000 donated for the maintenance and use of our parks to a political committee unless somebody put some pressure on them.
Well, I mean, it was money that came from the Friends of the Parks, right?
Absolutely.
It came from something called the Meyer Fund, and I think when people contribute money to the parks, I don't think they think they're going to be used for political ads watching the, you know, as an example. It's not Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Depends on what time of year it is.
For the park board to spend park money on political ads seems odd to me. It's sort of like, as I said, it's sort of like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They've fulfilled the wish of a young person to be shown on TV playing basketball, football, and baseball.
Tim, I want to get your response to what he's saying, but we need to take a break real quickly here, and we'll come back and we'll let you respond to what Don had to say. You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, as we talk about the Cincinnati Parks Levy. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about the Cincinnati Parks Levy with Manley and Burke attorney Tim Burke, who supports the levy. Also from attorney and partner with Omer and Byrne, Donald J. Mooney Jr., who along with Tim Mara organized Save Our Parks, an anti-levy effort, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100.
7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tim, Don was talking about the $200,000. So what do you say?
My understanding is that came from private dollars that are under the control of the Park Board. They are clearly not taxpayer money. And as the Park Board has defended that action earlier today in a press release about why it was legal to do that, I don't know the details beyond that.
I think that's something that the courts are going to have to decide, but I do think it clouds the credibility of the Park Board in this respect. They're saying we have all of this millions of dollars in delayed or deferred maintenance. I think the public is going to say, if someone gave you, individual donors or maybe one donor, gave you $200,000 to spend, should it be spent on maintaining our parks or should it be spent on political ads?
Well, I think it's terribly unfortunate that Mr. Mooney chooses to denigrate the credibility of the members of the Park Board when those folks are simply donating their time. And these are some very significant people in the city of Cincinnati who are contributing that time and helping us make tremendous progress with some of the new parks that they have been able to obtain contributions to make happen, like Smail.
It's I think, a judgment that the taxpayers who vote on this are going to have to consider, whether it was good judgment on the Park Board's part or not.
The Park Board has been regarded as one, and particularly the director of the Cincinnati Park Board, Willie Carden, as perhaps the outstanding public administrator we have in the city of Cincinnati. I trust Willie. I trust the members of the Park Board. I trust them to maintain our parks and to improve them very dramatically with the funds that would be made available through this levy.
One thing that's interesting is the Inquirer, though, today had an editorial about the refusal of the Park Board to provide basic financial information to reporters interested in how they do spend our money. And it's the same experience we've had. I think back more than a month ago, we made a public record request asking for things like emails from the mayor's office to Mr. Schuckman at the Park Board and Willie Carden about this whole thing, and we're still waiting for them. So I think the lack of transparency, along with this $200,000 political payment, is going to raise some questions about whether or not the Park Board and the parks are properly administered.
What is transparent is what this levy can do for the future of our parks and our neighborhoods. Those are well outlined. It's clear what the money will do. And everybody, including city council, has a role to play in what ultimately happens.
But only three council members support this, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, that is an interesting. I mean, why haven't they spoken out on this one way or the other?
I can't answer that question. They will have to answer for themselves.
Yeah.
But clearly, and I expect you'll see a public statement in the very near future by David Mann, and by a Charterite and a Republican member of City Council, all parties coming together to support Issue 22. And just yesterday, one of the largest ministerial groups in black ministerial groups in Cincinnati came out in support of Issue 22 as well.
Bizarre and interesting support, too. We have a pretty broad coalition ranging from the Audubon Society on one end to Coast on the other. We have council members Murray and Winburn and Yvette Simpson, who are supporting our Save Our Parks effort, to vote no. And I think we're going to hear from more council
members.
And the Green Party. So it's a pretty broad coalition as well. It's a very interesting dynamic, I think, in a levy campaign.
And what's particularly unfortunate, though, and this is what's tearing me up, and maybe I'll put my political hat back on, but we have a bunch of people who are dissatisfied that they lost the mayor's race. We have a bunch of people who don't like some of the things that John Cranley said about streetcars, and they're seeing this as their opportunity to get back at John. And that's a large part of what's happening here.
Well, I'm not one of those people.
Don.
You've
made it very clear that you are the leader of those people.
I am the leader of people who, and I'm not really a leader of anything, quite frankly. I'm just some guy who got involved in this because it didn't seem that anyone else was. And it now seems to be gathering some force. As I mentioned the other night, I had a fundraising event for Mr. Cranley when he ran for Congress some years back. And I think I offered in the paper the other day to make another contribution to his congressional campaign should he decide to resign his current office and run against Mr. Chabot. So I'm all for John in many respects.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk with Bob in Loveland. Hi, Bob. Bob, go ahead. Okay, so I think
he's not voting. I think he figured out that he wasn't going to vote on this.
If he's in Loveland, he's back out on his bike on the Little Miami bike trail.
And that was what he was going to ask about.
And what we want that bike trail to do is to come all the way down to Public Landing, which is where I've always felt it should be. And it will if this levy is adopted.
Don, I'm kind of curious. You're against the idea that they put forth here. Does your organization have its own idea for how you would handle this?
You know, I think we all have different points of view, and I can share you with my point of view. If they had come forward with a tax that says this is going to be for the park board, it's something that is renewable every 5 years, and the park board gets to decide how the money is spent, I would be out riding up and down the Central Parkway bike trail today rather than on this radio show.
A simple tax levy, not a
permanent charter. Addition to our charter where the mayor has so much control over it. I think those are the concerns I have. I know other people feel different ways. I know the Audubon Society is concerned about the removal of so many trees from Mount Airy Forest and Burnett Woods. I mean, the mayor has said he thinks the Burnett Wood trees are creepy. Because there are too many of them.
It's the Halloween season.
That's right. Well, I mean, I think he may show up at people's doors with a chainsaw. I'm not sure. But.
Tim, why not just do this as a straight levy?
For one of the problems with doing with a straight levy is that it doesn't produce the bondability that a permanent levy does. And that's one of the big issues.
You mean set up the mechanism for...
Well, to bond, you've got to have that continuing revenue stream, which is provided by the more permanent levy. Mm-hmm. And again, a permanent tax is not at all unusual for park purposes. We've got three townships here in Hamilton County that have that. A lot of major cities, Pittsburgh, for example, has it as a permanent levy. And in our charter, we have other examples of permanent taxes. So it's not at all unusual. And it takes that guaranteed revenue stream to be able to do the bonding that will enable many of these projects to go forward quickly.
So is it the only way to do a permanent levy to do it in the charter, Tim?
That's where I believe it needs to be, yes.
Okay. But, I mean, is it possible to do a permanent levy without making it part of the charter?
I don't think so.
I think you could have it. You could have a charter that authorizes council. And if you look at the language in the charter in Article 9, most of the levies we have say, council may levy a tax. So council every year has the right to say, we don't need that much money this year. We're going to reduce it. They can't increase it. But that's what's happened here is we've cut council out of important decisions, and that's something that irks me personally.
Okay, you got these 16 projects, about $80 million in a number of neighborhoods. What input are these neighborhoods, neighborhood councils, neighborhood leadership going to have this ultimately looks like?
First of all, Howard, as you well know from having covered politics around this town for a long time, our community councils have an awful lot of sway with the mayor,
some
with city
more
council.
Than others, yes.
Some more than others, clearly. In addition to that, for most of our parks, there are citizen advisory committees that the park board meets with on a regular basis when it comes to what happens in their neighborhood park. And Brewster, in the debate, the Inquirer debate the other night, talked about Ziegler Park as an example. There have been four major meetings with neighborhood groups to determine what the new Ziegler Park is going to look like. It's that kind of input that neighborhoods have. And woe be any elected official, whether it's the mayor or members of council, who don't pay attention to what neighborhood groups have to say.
We've got Bob's callback. Let's see what Bob had to say. Bob, go right ahead. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Bob.
And you've got about 30 seconds, Bob.
I got stopped there when you guys were getting real political. I was like, what happened?
Go ahead, though.
I live in Loveland, and I think that the bike trail here is phenomenal. I think it's it really helps revenue for the small businesses here. And there's also the canoe livery here, and it draws a lot of people all summer, spring, summer, and fall. My only concern is, within probably 5 mile radius of my house, there's probably 10 or more little parks that you never see anybody in. And I'm sure I'm paying taxes to have those maintained. And it'd be nice if they would make them like farmers markets or something during the summer where local farmers could sell their products.
Okay, Bob, we have to go. We have to head on here. Tim, you want to have the last word on this?
No, I'm
You're satisfied?
In terms of what Bob has to say, I think he made the point about the positive impact that bike trails can have, and they do.
What happens if this doesn't pass, real quickly?
If this doesn't pass, the Park Board will continue to struggle to try and find the funds to make the kinds of simple maintenance that they need to do on 70-year-old buildings.
I think if it doesn't pass, then the mayor, who is in charge to a large extent of the budget process, needs to work with council to make sure the Park Board, through the normal budget process, gets more money to do that maintenance.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier with help from Jim Nolan. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney.